No Syntax is brought to you by Caffeine Driven Media, where a coffee a day keeps the grumpy away. Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to No Syntax. I am Landon Isles, your host. And before I get started, one, let me say I'm really excited about doing this show. And I am going to do my best to stay as pumped as I possibly can and not get pissed off or go off on a tangent. And the reason why, let me tell you, the whole premise of this show is to talk about things that are personal, professional, or in the news, on Facebook, on YouTube, or whatever social media application transmits any sort of data or information to the world that's even worth talking about. And I have been waiting to record this show to talk about a specific individual on a specific topic that really bothers me. And don't get me wrong, I'm really trying to keep an open mind about this. I try to do what I can to gather the facts to make an informed decision before I say certain things. But in respect to this individual, and I do have some respect for this person, so let me get this out the door right now. The actions by which, you know, let me just get into this. I was going to talk about something else beforehand, but let me just go ahead and get into this. So the topic of discussion today, this week on this show, episode one of No Syntax, is Edward Snowden. And granted, I understand he's old news, but recently I was going through YouTube and I have some YouTubers that I follow and I watch their videos on a regular basis. As I went to log in, I noticed a video trailer for a movie called Snowden. And I looked at this and was like, what the fuck? We're giving this asshole a movie? Are you kidding me? This can't be right. So here I am. I'm about to get on my soapbox. I'm really about to get on my soapbox here because it bothers me. It upsets me. As an American, as an individual who has different views than others, just like everybody has different views than myself, we're all, you know, unique in our own way. But a lot of this bothered me. Now, I will say this, and it sounds counter to what I just said. I have every intention of seeing this movie. I have every intention of, now that I know that a book has been published. And wait a minute, you know, Landon, hold on. You just found out a book has been published? Yes, I just found out a book has been fucking published. Okay, kiss my ass. It's just that here's the thing. When the whole deal came about, about a year? It's been a year and a half ago, where, you know, he turned around and he leaked to the world that the NSA, in conjunction with telephone companies, that the National Security Agency is monitoring all your phone calls, your web traffic, things of that nature. And I was like, okay, so this guy went ahead and did this and ran. He basically picked up the microphone, told on Uncle Sugar, and took off. Left the country. And that's one of the things that bothered me. I mean, this guy dropped a huge bomb on the world and left the country. And that was one of the initial things that really bothered me, is that he, you know, had the balls, if you will, to go ahead and expose the NSA for what they were doing, but didn't have balls big enough to basically stand and take his lashes. You know, I'm going to go on the run. I'm going to seek asylum elsewhere. You know, I'm kind of confused in that. And maybe the book will answer a lot of questions. So I have every intention of getting the book. But going back, yes, I understand there's a book now. Yes, there's a movie. And we're going to give this ass clown a movie, you know, to talk about what he did, to explain what he did in a more theatrical manner. Okay, got it. But I just don't, it really, really bothers me. So let me try to throttle back a little bit and think this through. So you have a guy who leaked this information and then decided to leave America. I have a problem with that. And the reason why I have a problem with that, and of course, again, I'm going to have to read the book, but I have a problem with that because when I saw the video trailer, when I saw the movie trailer, I was paying attention to what was going on. And it goes through pretty fast. The video trailer is about 2 minutes, 40 seconds. And it talks about initially, you know, he's going through basic training. Now, it was a really quick clip. I don't know whether it was Army basic, whether it was Marine basic, whatever, but he's low crawling through mud under concertina wire. And next thing you know, it flashes to him being in a hospital, being evaluated by a doctor. And as it turns out, he has a medical condition that he just can't continue. He cannot serve his country. And then it follows through onto another scene where he's questioned by this individual. I'm assuming it's either CIA or NSA, and says, you know, so you want to be special forces? And he said, yes. And he, you know, he wanted to serve his country, but because of his medical condition, he could not. So now he's serving his country in another way by working for the NSA. And of course, you know, he's shown in the movie as being, you know, a super intelligent individual. And he goes and he's got this exam, or he's got they're doing this test. And I think the test is supposed to take like 5 hours, and he did it in like 30 minutes. And therefore, you know, the whole world working in the NSA was open to him. You know, the doors just flew open. So that was like the precursor to everything that was going to happen to him as far as a future in the NSA. And, so going back again, and I'm going to be bouncing back and forth, Snowden is been directed by Oliver Stone, and it's based on two books. I didn't write the other one down, but it's based on two books. And the one book is written by Luke Harding, and it's entitled The Snowden Files. So I imagine for the past year and a half, maybe it's even been 2 years, you know, my timeline's maybe a little off, but all that time they went and did interviews. They wrote a book about what happened, you know, and then the book gets published. My apologies. So then they turn around, they take the book and they take the book and basically put it into a movie. And Oliver Stone, I really have mad respect for this individual. I mean, he will go into those deep-seated issues, and he will continue to tell the truth. And I respect that. You know, I really, really do. And that's why it's kind of it's a significant emotional event for me to be pissed off about the individual that they're making the movie about, than it is to be pissed off at Oliver Stone for doing it, because I respect him. And one of the things that was going on with the movie, and this is, I believe it's a direct quote, and I'm picking this up off of Wikipedia. Now, I'll just say, my personal opinion, Wikipedia is not really a viable resource for information, but it seems to be everybody's go-to. And the reason why it's a go-to for me is, one, I was looking up who the actors and actresses were in the movie, but I came across something that that was listed on the page talking about pre-production. And this is by Oliver Stone. He basically states this: "It's a very strange thing to do a story about an American man and not be able to finance this movie in America. And that's very disturbing. If you think about its implications on any subject that is not overtly pro-American, they say we have a freedom of expression, but thought is financed and thought is controlled, and the media is controlled. This country is very tight on that, and there's no criticism allowed at a certain level. You can make movies about civil rights leaders who are dead, but it's not easy to make one about a current man. Oliver Stone, director of Snowden, on the difficulty of making the film in the U.S. And I respect his view. I respect what he says, and I completely agree with it. I completely agree with that particular statement, and that everything is controlled, to include the media. And it really makes it difficult. And this is why I go back and forth and try and keep an open mind about the movie. But where I really get upset about this is that, again, Edward Snowden in the video clip was going to go special forces. Couldn't do it because of a medical condition. Okay, so let's talk about the special forces. Let's talk about the Green Berets. Let's talk about the Navy SEALs, Air Force Combat Controllers, TACPs. Let's talk about Marine Force Recon. Let's talk about Army Rangers and everybody else that I'm not intentionally forgetting about. But all those elements have a job to do. Granted, each one of them has a different job at a different level. Not one is necessarily the same. They're all trained in different ways to handle different things. Okay, now that I've laid that out, there more than likely can be an assumption, a strong assumption made, that being a special forces operative, regardless of which branch of service that you're in, regardless of what you do, what you've joined, that there's going to probably be something that is questionable, that is going to challenge your morals, that you're going to have to carry out because you signed a contract to do so. You told the United States government that I will protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And there are implied tasks to protecting the Constitution of the United States, to protecting America. And that may cause you to do something that would probably put your morals in check. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying that these guys and gals go out there and do anything that's very, very questionable. But in some people's minds, it can be construed as such, especially if the media gets control of it and spins it the way that they want. I mean, think about it. How often does the media turn around and talk about something positive? If you look at the news right now, you know, the big thing right now is police officers. And I'm not trying to get off topic. I'm trying to prove a point. How many positive videos about police officers have you seen in the news in comparison to all the negative crap that's been going on? It's freaking bullshit, in my opinion. So same thing with the military. You know, there's a lot of good news stories out there that the military does for people, especially in humanitarian efforts. Yet those are never publicized because they don't make for great news. But anytime a soldier does something wrong, you know, we talk about Gitmo, we talk about burning the Quran, we talk about other issues, you know, of what these soldiers have done, that it makes news. So it gets heavily exploited. It gets heavily controlled. And people are made to think that a lot of military soldiers are bad. Now, it doesn't mean that a lot of the support has gone down, but sometimes it just takes one person to fuck it up for everybody else. So in that same respect, you have the media that does this. Snowden decides he wants to go special forces, can't make it. I got it. But he had to have an idea of what the expectations would be coming into the service. He signed a contract. Now, if you didn't read that contract, if you didn't think about the implied tasks, or you didn't ask the questions, then maybe the movie shouldn't have depicted you as smart as they made you seem. And then going into working for the CIA or working for the NSA, you can't tell me that you didn't do your homework. That there would be those things that you would be involved in or see or do or have your finger on, whether you actually were directly involved or indirectly involved, doesn't fucking matter. You probably also signed a contract. You signed a non-disclosure agreement. And then all of a sudden, now you find out that something's going on, that the NSA is doing this thing, that they're monitoring everybody's network traffic, and you have a big fucking issue with it. You signed a damn contract. You had to know what you were getting into. So once again, Edward Snowden, if you're as intelligent as the book probably makes you seem or as the movie makes you seem, then why the fuck did you take the job in the first place? That is my problem with it. That is my problem with Edward Snowden. And the overall fact of the matter is that he dropped this bomb and then exited the country. That freaking rat bastard doesn't have the balls to stand up and take his lashes. Come back and frickin' face the music. You know, we all have to do it at some point in time. And basically what you did, in my opinion, was completely wrong. How could you not transcend or transcribe what you would be doing as a special forces operative if you had made it to what the NSA does? I don't understand that piece. Maybe the book, if I go and read it, and I'll probably do another show on this, maybe the book will explain it. Maybe the book will give me a level of understanding as to why the fuck you did what you did. Then again, maybe not. And then the other thing I would have to say about the movie, and no disrespect to Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I love him as an actor, but damn it, You know, could you find somebody else? I mean, maybe Carrot Top and dye his hair brown, because I look at Edward Snowden and I look at Joseph Gordon-Levitt and there's just no way in comparison that that's the actor that they should have chose. I mean, if you're going to make a movie about a guy, find somebody that basically close represents him, because Edward Snowden doesn't seem the type of guy that could really pick up a weapon and shoot anybody. Then again, I don't know. But overall, let's talk about the media too. And Oliver Stone's comment is that everything is freaking controlled. And here's this whole thing about, you know, how they spin this story and the government's doing this and who do we hold accountable, and that this is BS. This is the principle of the matter, is that it's an invasion of my privacy, you know, and why are they doing this? You know, basically, they're basically saying fuck national security. But it's a principle of the matter, and I got it. I understand people don't like their information publicized. People do not like things, you know, put out there for others to see, and I've got that. But overall, if you're not doing anything wrong, what are you worried about? You know, and if you think about some of the people, some conversations that are out there, and I'm not saying that there aren't terrorists out there that are having phone conversations and making these covert plans to try and undermine the American ideology and try to take down the world and just watch it burn. I'm not saying that that isn't happening, but how else are you going to monitor that? You know, and think about it. I mean, really, are they really coming at you? Are they really listening to you? I mean, unless you utilize the keywords, they're probably in some algorithm on a network system that if you say, it's going to jump into your phone conversation. But if you don't say it, then you don't have anything to worry about. And then even if you do accidentally say something in a phone conversation, like the word bomb or explosive, or if you're talking about Al-Qaeda or Haqqani networks or whatever the case may be, because of something that you saw in the news and you're talking to a friend about it, yeah, your phone conversation may get picked up, but they will also be screened. And they'll probably determine more than likely, no, this is just a general conversation. It doesn't mean shit. You know, so you really don't have anything to worry about. Well, what about the spy camera? And of course, it was depicted that, you know, they were looking at social media and then looking through cameras and seeing people in their bedrooms or seeing people in their offices or seeing people in their home offices doing stuff on the computer. Okay, fine. But if you're not doing anything, or again, it's all about communication. It's all about what you're communicating out there and how you're communicating it. And I'm sure their database, their algorithm has a plethora of keywords and information that they look for. And there's probably patterns, and they probably have analysts that will look through all this stuff to make that determination as to whether or not they need to come after you. Now, this is just an assumption. I have no knowledge of that, but I'm trying to think things logical sequence, that if in the event that you are doing something wrong, it's going to come out, that you will be flagged and they will come after you. Okay. But if you're not doing anything wrong, if you're just having general conversations, if you're in your room and you left your laptop open, then that's on you. If somebody happens to get into your system and look at you and watch what you're doing, then that's on you. And oh, by the way, there's not just the government out there that have the ability to do it. There are individuals that have the term, that utilize the word hacker, and they can get into your system. If you have an open network, or even if you have a protected network, there are talented individuals that can do this. So they're not alone in this whole privacy invasion thing. You know, it's the NSA doing what they do. And so let's make an assumption that it would not necessarily fall in the NSA's hands, but more like the FBI, is that if you did get hacked and your personal identification information, your PII was compromised, and your bank accounts were drained out, and your credit cards were maxed, and somebody stole your identity, well, how the hell do you think that they might go about trying to track somebody down? One assumption could be that they would actually have looked for network footprints to find these people. Okay. So if so they could be used for good, and it could be construed, you know, by Edward Snowden, that it's being used for evil as well. I got that. But I mean, it's kind of on the level of you have to sacrifice certain things in order to get potential gains. Now, do I respect Snowden for what he did? In one sense, I understand why he did it. Everybody has different levels of moral fiber. And evidently his levels are very, very high. There are others that do have very, very high levels, but have a sense of patriotism that they would never relinquish or never relinquish the information, you know, to the world about what was going on. You know, and that has to be a hard thing to do. I mean, for those individuals who work in an agency like that, either they go through extensive, I'm sure they go through extensive evaluations and whatnot and interviews to make sure that they're hiring the right people. But if that's the case, what did they miss about Snowden? What was it about Snowden that they completely missed? You know, did they not ask that one question to strike that moral fiber that would have raised a red flag and then have them totally back off and say, you know what? I don't think you're for us. Thank you for trying. Maybe next time. But I don't know. It's really hard to determine, you know, what it is or what that interview process is to get people in. And then maybe they become lenient. Maybe they overlooked a few things because the guy, you know, Ed Snowden depicted in the movie, you know, was listed as very intelligent. Doors were opening for him because he was able to hack in and complete his task in 38 minutes, which probably would have been taken, or the time allotted that was given, if I understand the clip correctly, was 5 hours. So all these doors opened. They had talent. So maybe there were other things that were overlooked, and that's why they missed it. So as Snowden is depicted in the movie, when he discovers working with one of his partners, what the NSA is doing and the capabilities that they have, you know, all of a sudden he has an issue with it. And then he leaks it. And then everybody knows about it. And then everybody gets pissed off about it because it's an invasion of their privacy. But let me tell you something. Do you honestly feel that you haven't had your privacy invaded in some form or fashion since the invention of technology, since the invention of the telephone? I mean, there had to be people out there who had these ideas of how can I monitor people? How can I track what people are doing? You know, the powers that be, there's people out there that have those nefarious thoughts, if you will, about tracking individuals, about looking at what they're doing, about basically having the ability to keep tabs on you. I mean, ever since the CIA and the NSA began, that was probably their initiative. And this is where I go back, Mr. Edward Snowden. Did you not look at the mission and vision statement? Did you not look at the lines of operation or the lines of effort that the CIA and the NSA have? I'm sure they have them somewhere. They may not be posted on the internet. They might be posted on the intranet. They might be posted on a bulletin board somewhere in a hallway, you know, in the building that you were working in. Did you not understand the mission and vision of the company that you're working for? Were you really that naive, as intelligent as you are? Was you really that naive in not understanding what the hell that they do? There's certain things that we just don't need to know. There's certain things that are done for our own protection. And some people say, well, you know, that's kind of crossing the line. And I understand that. I understand where they're going with that. So I don't necessarily fault it. I don't fault it for individual freedoms of the individuals that they're complaining. I got it. So it's just one of those things that just really, really, it really bugged me. It really bugs me. And I could be torn too. I could have some understanding, but hell, you know, this is probably going to go a little deep here, but here's the thing. You know, if you're not doing anything wrong, going back and circling again and beating a dead horse with a stick, if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have to worry about it. If I leave my laptop open and I'm sitting there beating off in my room or something of that nature, and they're seeing me, hey, I'm fine with that. You know what? If you want to watch, if you want to take pictures, whatever, go ahead. You might learn something. I have no fear of it. That's basically what I'm going to equivocate that to, is something as stupid as that, because I'm not worried about it. I'm not really doing anything wrong. You know, if self-gratification is a sin, we're all going to hell. But so, you know, I would say if you could, I was going to do it. Maybe I'll just go ahead and do it now. But the video overall, if you get a chance to go see the trailer or go look at the trailer, I'm gonna play you a bit of it right now, just so kind of lay a scene, and then I'll talk a little bit more about it, and then I think I'm gonna go ahead and close the show. So here we go. I will try and remain as silent as possible. Ready? Go.
Best I can tell, you've been walking around two broken legs for weeks.
When do I go back?
You ever again land on those legs of yours, those bones will turn to powder.
Plenty other ways to serve your country.
You want it to be special forces?
Yes, sir.
Why do you want to join the CIA?
I'd like to help my country make a difference in the world.
The average test time is 5 hours.
I'm done, sir.
It's been 40 minutes.
38 minutes. What should I do now?
Whatever you want.
The deputy director of the NSA offered me a new position.
Can you tell me anything about it?
You know I can't.
Find the terrorist in the internet haystack.
You're making people very happy.
Thank you.
You ready for a little action?
Oh, this looks juicy.
How is this all possible?
Think of it as a Google search, except instead of searching only what people make public, we're also looking at everything they don't. Emails, chats, SMS, whatever.
Yeah, but which people?
The whole kingdom, Snow White.
The NSA is really tracking every cell phone in the world.
Most Americans don't want freedom. They want security.
Except people, they don't even know they've made that bargain.
Are they watching us?
There's something going on inside the government that's really wrong, and I can't ignore it. I just want to get this data to the world.
Hey.
I feel like I'm made to do this, and if I don't do it, then I don't know anybody else that can. This is everything I have. They're gonna figure out what I've done.
Did you access an unauthorized program?
The government knows that we have these documents now.
Okay, I'm going to stop it there. I didn't really intend to play the entire video. And of course, you could hear everything audio-wise and everything that's going on. So the other thing that I kind of noticed was how the hell he got the information out. And I'll let you go watch the video trailer to see. Because I thought that was ingenious overall. So that probably leads a lot to the intelligence of Edward Snowden. But one of the things that I just really, that threw me for a loop is that I know, some years ago that, there was an issue with USB ports being open on government computers, and that the government's policy is that there are no USB, there is no ability or no use of those USB drives. So they're all turned off. And I believe a lot of their systems come in. You do not have the ability to plug in any removable media whatsoever. So those USB ports are gone. And the way I see him basically taking the information out, according to the movie, is on a little SD card. So really trying to figure out, you know, how the heck that he was able to do that. Evidently, he was able to do that. He was able to get the information out somehow, you know, smart enough to do it. But I was just kind of looking at it going, I thought the government didn't allow any removable media or the ability to utilize removable media. I'm sure there are some exceptions to the rule. Maybe his office had an exception, but you go through security checks when you come in and come out, but he was able to smuggle the information out through with a Rubik's cube. So overall, again, I'm trying to see it from both ends. I look at it from in one respect that, you know, his moral fiber, I'm not going to fault him for that. I don't fault people for having a high moral fiber. I really, really don't, because that's what makes us unique. And I'm not saying that my moral fiber is not high, but, you know, I guess I'm old school in the respect that if I got hired to do a job with the United States government, that I'm going to uphold those laws no matter what they're doing. And for good reason. And that's not a tough call either. I mean, that really had to be weighing on his shoulders. So I could only imagine, you know, the other prototypes, I call them prototypes, the other individuals who are, who work in those government agencies, you know, what is their personality? You know, it takes a special breed to have to do a job like that and to knowingly have all this information at your fingertips and know more about what's going on in the world than your neighbor does. And that maybe there's also a comfort in the fact for those type of individuals that don't leak that type of information, that they know so much about what's going on. They know how many terrorist actions they've thwarted over the past year or even the past month that keeps America safe, that sometimes there's a lot of things that are best left unsaid. So I think that's where I'm going to go ahead and close the show for right now. I appreciate everybody listening. Again, like I said, I was really excited about this show and getting this out. It's going to take some time for me to establish some other accounts. Evidently, I tried to get a a Twitter account set up today, and it didn't work. So I need to figure out what's going on with that. So what I will go ahead and leave you with is that you can find me on Facebook at No Syntax. You can email me with any comments or questions at No Syntax Podcast. That's all one word at gmail.com. So that's No SYNTAX Podcast at gmail.com. No Syntax is a production of Caffeine Driven Media. Logo design is by LJI Designs. Music is by Rimsky Music and can be found at www.premiumbeat.com. Sound editing is by Auphonic.com. That's www.auphonic.com. Today's show was fueled by Death Wish Coffee Company, and you can find their coffee at www.deathwishcoffee.com. So, yeah, that's going to do it for this week's show. I hope you enjoyed it. Sorry for circling if I did. This will definitely get better. I definitely want to keep this show in a more of a freestyle edition, as much as possible. We'll just see how it goes. So once again, thanks for listening, and I will catch you next week. Take care. We'll be right back.